Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello, Rush Nation. Welcome to the 5 Yard Rush Daily Fantasy Sports Show. I'm Mark Ferguson, and tonight we're going to be talking all things NFL on Fan Team. We'll be talking about our season-long teams, our exclusive 5 Yard Rush contest, and wait for it, €14,000 Sunday Red Zone Monster Contest. €14,000, the biggest of the season so far.
Ooh.
Joining me after being so cruelly eliminated from Strictly on Sunday is Nick Owen at Nick of Wigan. How's it going, Nick? Are you trying to forget last week as much as me?
It's going good. I've got a nice free schedule now, which is why I've been able to come back for, I think, a third week in a row. Last week, I think I had some small returns, but nothing to shout home about, break-even kind of returns. Season-long took a little bit of a hit. I'm sure we'll come to that as we work through.
We will. Well, you know, we were gutted. We voted for you, Nick, but it didn't work. So, I'm not wasting my money on that. Our special guest this week will be familiar to all you FPL fans in particular. He's a host on Draft Gym TV and he's a pro pundit for FF Scout. He's FPL Teach Mode on Twitter, but tonight we'll be calling him Andy. Welcome, Andy, and thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I was literally saying just a minute ago that I dropped into Nick's DM saying I'd love to come on the show at some point if you ever have me. And I think this is probably your only free week of the season. So thank you very much.
Not often you get someone sliding into your DMs on Twitter. So I thought, what's this interesting character? It just turned out it was you, Andy.
Usually I'm sliding into posing other things, aren't I? But I thought we'd we'd go for
keep
it
that
this week,
PG for the show.
Yeah. So that's for the after-hours show, isn't it?
I've got two quick questions for you, Andy, though, before we get going. Yeah. So where does the name Teach Mode come from?
So basically, I'm a massive NFL fan, and obviously there was Marshawn Lynch, Beast Mode, and I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. So my first, when I started playing NFL and doing NFL fantasy, I wanted to come up with a team name, so I came up with Teach Mode, and that's basically where it came from.
Wow, nice. you're so clever. You've pretty much answered my second question as well. You're just how did you get into the NFL and fantasy NFL? Was that before or after the FPL? Or
It was definitely after FPL. FPL I've been playing for about 15 years now. NFL, I wasn't a massive fan of NFL until I started doing fantasy football. And someone said, you've got to do fantasy football because the draft is amazing. And I did that and I was terrible, didn't have a clue what I was doing. And then after a couple of years, you just pick up so much, don't you? So, and then I started loving it. My wife started really getting into NFL as well. So we started watching it every Sunday. And now I've found DFS with NFL as well. And it's just a whole new level of love for it. So, it's been about 8 years now, I would say. So, yeah, it's good. I'm in about 6 draft leagues, got all these DFS leagues as well. So completely all encompassing now.
Wow. Obviously, there's only one answer to this question. This is a bonus question now. What's better, FPL or NFL DFS?
Oh, NFL for me, because I win the NFL one. The FPL one I find so hard because I feel like NFL, you can predict a lot more what's going to happen. Whereas FPL, it's like, you know, if they score a goal, if they don't score a goal, if they get an assist. Whereas NFL, you know, it's a bit more, you can guess how many yards somebody's going to get, or you can guess where they're going to get touchdowns. And I just find it a bit easier. I say that now, I'll probably have an absolute, you know, horror show this weekend. But I think I prefer the NFL.
Wow, there you go. So you've lost about, 80% of FPL fans now? Which are all watching. which are all watching because there's an international break. So, you know, there's nothing else for them to do than watch this show and play some NFL DFS on Fan Team this weekend. Anyway, talking of which, God, I didn't even write this bit either. That is a really nice segue into our exclusive 5 Yard Rush free roll, Nick, that we've got this week.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Back again for another week. We are too kind to you, listeners.
We are way too kind. So it's exactly the same as last week, but just in case you're not one of the 1,100 people who played it last week, here are the details. It's a £300 guaranteed prize pool. It's £100 for first place. It's free to enter, and not only is it free to enter, you can enter 4 entries for free, so which I really think is a bit of a game changer for a free-roll. It involves all the games on Sunday. I think it's 11 of them. It's the 6 p.m. and the 9 p.m. kickoffs, so it's an all-evening sweat whilst you're watching Red Zone. And Nick, how did you get on last week's?
Not very well on last week's, to be honest. I think my best rank on last week's was 100 plus. I wasn't really close, but interestingly, the person that won actually had four of the same lineup, and that is always the thing with these kind of contests, is if you do win, if you're going to multi-enter the same lineup, you're going to clean up. So the guy that won, I think the username was Kakach or Kakash. So he entered four of the same team, which I think we'd all probably be in agreement here that if that was to happen every week, you'd be quite happy that people enter four of the same team, because you enter four different lineups, you've got four different chances of winning. You're covering more bases, you've got more exposure. It just so happens last week, the team he entered was the one to enter. That's the one that won the contest. So he cleaned up the top four prize places. So well done, Kakash, on that.
By the way, if you're a new listener, it's definitely suboptimal to play four of the same lineup in NFL. 100% suboptimal.
That has worked in 1 week, but I would say as a strategy, that's probably not the best to apply. But what do I know? I mean, Kakash won last week. Yeah. So well done, Kakash, said through gritted teeth.
So did you play Andy last week?
I did, yeah. And actually, I don't know how this happened, but the entry that I put into the main monster that I did really well on in the red zone one, I didn't put into your free one. So I was a bit annoyed about that. But I didn't do very well. I didn't have nothing cashed really. But it was good though. I put all four in.
Yeah, I think in the third quarter, I was in the top 100 in our contest. I was definitely in the money. But by the end, I kept dropping and dropping. I can't remember why particularly, but I gave up looking after a while. That's what it is with DFS. Once you know you're on a bad run, you try not to look again, do you? It's like, anyway, so keep an eye for that. As I say, you can enter four lineups, and we're going to tonight, after you look at season long, we're going to pick a lineup here, and hopefully that'll help you with yours and stuff. So we've got an article coming out on Five Yard Rush tomorrow as well, some top plays. Again, that's been written by Murph. So, time to finally start talking some fantasy. So, usual formats. We'll do a few minutes talking about our season-long teams. Then we're going to build a lineup together for this week's Monsters. Nick, do you want to share yours? Should we start with you?
Yeah. So, last week, my season-long took a little bit of a hit. So, I'd actually got it into quite a nice position. I was in the cash spaces. I think it might still be cashing just. And actually, I only lost a few places, I think, on this team last week. But the unfortunate thing was Kyler Murray he didn't play. I think if Kyler Murray played last week, I think I'm having a good week and climbing up the ranks a little bit more. Because actually, one of the players that I would have liked to have transferred out last week was Tim Patrick. I kept him in for another week, and he, considering his price, he didn't have a bad week anyway, output-wise. Two of the transfers I brought in were Jonathan Taylor, Najee Harris, both absolutely smashed. So I was made up with that. I mean, glaringly obvious, we've got a bye week for Cincinnati this week. So 42% of the game are going to have to pivot away from Jamar Chase at least for 1 week. I am not really willing to risk Kyler Murray again, as he wasn't in attendance for Thursday's practice. So today's practice, not in attendance. Really not happy with that. I'm just not willing to take that risk again. He's low owned as well, so I'm shooting myself in the foot by not having a starting quarterback there with 12% ownership. So the moves this week for me won't really come as much of a surprise. Now, I am actually going to take a -8 hit. So the team that I'm proposing to move forward with. So the changes, Tim Patrick, I'm going to move to Marquise Brown. I'm going to move Kyler Murray on to Lamar Jackson, who seems to be on a tear-up all of a sudden. And I am bringing in Mike Evans for a bit of exposure to Tampa Bay's good run of games. The theory behind it is basically if you look at the run of games that Lamar Jackson has, it's just too good to pass up on. He's quite low owned as well. It says 7%. Now, I'm assuming that's probably based on last week's figures. It will more than likely go up this week, given that he's just come off the back of a 30-point game. But coming up, he's got Miami tonight. He's got the Bears, the Browns, the Steelers, the Browns, the Packers, the Bengals. So it's a pretty good run for Lamar. Really happy with that run. Marquise Brown, again, I've brought him in because it's a nice stack there. He's clearly the number one receiver there this year. He's having a breakout season. The touchdowns are still there for him as well, which you like to see. Fairly low owned. Likewise with Mike Evans. Again, just too good of a run of games not to include him in. So he's got the Washington football team. He's got the Giants, the Colts, the Falcons, the Bills, the Saints, the Panthers going forward. So the risk, we've always said it with Tampa Bay, Matt, the risk with bringing someone in like that is there's a lot of mouths to feed there. But there's also quite a few injuries going round at the moment. So the last time I checked, Antonio Brown was either limited or wasn't practicing still. Chris Godwin has also seemingly picked up a foot injury. The tight ends every week seem questionable or injured in Tampa Bay. And when you actually look in recent weeks, I think Mike Evans had his struggles with Brady early on this season. And then I think there was that game where he had a little bit of a strop on the sideline, if you remember. Since then, he's just been absolutely smashing it. Two touchdowns week five, three in week seven, one in week eight. And seems to be getting the targets again, especially when other receivers are out. So yeah, I need a little bit of exposure there. I did think about actually going Brady at quarterback over Jackson, but I think Jackson's just hit another gear all of a sudden.
That team looks so strong right now. I can't believe that's not going to end up in the money. In terms of ownership, last week I noticed, I mentioned this on the chat as well, 16%. Derrick Henry has still owned 16% last week, and he's just started higher. So even if you're not in the money, it shows you at least 16% people probably aren't trying anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth trying, continuing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a really strong team though. You've got there, and Taylor and Harris together at the moment. My gosh, what a combination.
They brought both of those in last week, but the run of games that they have, it's too good not to have them both in.
Let's not do too much analysis on them there now, though, because I think we're going to talk about them quite a lot.
No doubt we will.
In the next section. So I shall put Andy's on the screen. Where is it?
Lovely.
Here we go. So you weren't exactly very positive about your team this year. So far, Andy.
No, well, I have not done very well this year in season long. I know why. It's because I tried to go too clever too quick rather than getting in some of those players that actually a lot of people went for. And I tried to go too clever. And I've been trying to make up for that. So I'm about 700th at the moment, which just isn't very good. I'm almost not thinking about it too much, but I have made my moves. And funnily enough, they're very, very similar to Nick. So Chase has gone and Evans has come in. Exactly the same reasons. I think I was liking him with Antonio Brown out anyway. And obviously Gronk's kind of in and out. And, you know, the targets do seem to be going to Mike Evans a lot at the moment. And with Godwin potentially out as well. I mean, there's not many more people that Brady's going to be aiming at. So that fixture against Washington football team looks absolutely prime for the taking. So Evans is in for me, and he's going to be pretty much in most of my entries this weekend, I would have thought as well. And then the other move I have done, I've taken Aaron Jones out and I've brought in Taylor. And I'm saving the other transfer. So Connor, I think, is absolutely fine. I'm actually quite happy with Connor. He had a mad week last week and he was being very touchdown dependent because Edmund seems to get a lot of the kind of yardage there, but obviously he's now out and I don't think Eno Benjamin's going to be coming in and doing an awful lot for the for the Cardinals, so I'm quite happy owning Connor. And Javonte Williams is just a bit of I just love him personally, so he's there because I feel like his fixtures for the next kind of four or five are lovely, and Broncos are a team that I'm quite high on moving forward. So yeah, I'm quite happy with the team most of the time. Williams is a real boom or bust player, and he's been a bit more bust than boom recently, but he's had some tough fixtures. But I think that changes from this week onwards. So I think he could have quite a good last couple of weeks, to be fair. So I'm fairly happy with the team. but I mean, it needs to do a lot to kind of bring me out of the mire at the moment.
You have you've got the 1% dream team, James Connor, though. I mean, Connor, Nick, I don't, or either of you guys know this, but isn't he like RB8 or something in fantasy or something this year? Something ridiculous. It's something ridiculously high.
Yeah, he's actually, depending on the scoring, but PPI, which is obviously what this format is, he's ranked 11th in fantasy points in PPI, but actually in standard scoring, he's more like 6.
It's great that you've got him in there. It's so funny. So I was going to ask you, Andy, obviously you're a very experienced season-long sort of, Premier League player. Did you try and use any of that sort of strategy or knowledge when you were NFL
team? Do you know what I did? And I don't think it helped me, actually. I was trying to do things like rolling transfers a bit. And actually, I don't think it was a worthwhile exercise doing that, because with all the buys and things like that, I just wasn't looking at it enough. And I was playing it too much like FPL and playing it too much like Premier League. And obviously, it's a very, very different season. And, you know, in terms of attacking fixtures, I feel like you need to do it an awful lot more in NFL, and you do need to make those transfers and try and get those players in when they have a tasty fixture. And I just missed out on way too many points. You know, there were players that I knew would do well, but I didn't bring in because I wanted to try and be conservative, and it's just not the way to do it. In a 38-week season, you can be conservative in stretches, whereas in a 17-week season, you've got to attack every week. And if I was doing this next year, that is what I would change. I'd be far more aggressive. You know, Nick above me is doing a -8 this week, and I'm rolling transfers some weeks. So I think that's definitely what I've done wrong.
Sorry, Nick.
I was just going to say, do you know, one of the things as a takeaway that I feel like I've learned this season that I would do next season, we said early on, Mark, that we don't think stacking's really that important in this compared to what it is in weekly contests. But I think if you stack the right team, it's really effective. I think if you'd early doors had Matt Stafford quarterback, Cooper Kupp wide receiver, you'd have been laughing really for a good 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah. It's interesting. As we've always said, Nick, on pretty much every show we've talked about season long, is we're all learning it this year, aren't we, really? And yeah. I think come next year, we'll have a little bit of an idea. I mean, we were pretty certain we were going to be playing 4 wide receivers every week, and I found my best teams have had 3 running backs. So,
there's been such amazing value as well, though, at running back, hasn't there? We've had so many running back injuries.
Patterson and stuff.
I didn't think James Connor would be coming in and doing so well for me.
You always find that, though, to be fair. We've always said that, Mark, haven't we? You always get that there's always something that emerges at running back, either due to injury or... Yeah.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Someone just takes the backfield reins. Yeah, crazy. Crazy.
So I think the thing I learned from that was, and Cordarrelle was a great example, obviously nobody picked him week one. I mean, anybody who says they were clearly mad, because there's no reason to pick him at all. But I jumped on him straight away on week two in my best teams, as my teams turned out to be the best. And I think you need to, with, for example, FPL, I think you might wait 2 or 3 weeks if somebody unusual scored a goal, I suspect. You know, you wouldn't, because you generally know who over the season is going to generally score the most. Whereas with NFL, it's always these new, you know, big names and stuff. So I think that was important. We've got a question actually in. Oh, well done.
Yeah, we have. I'd spotted it, Matt.
Evening, guys. This is from Sean Thorpe, FF Thinker, a regular listener. Evening, guys. What are your thoughts on taking a -8 for a DST, especially if you're currently have the Bears on a bye? Let me get to the end of the question, Nick.
No. Do not do it, Sean. Look at the defenses. There's a nice little handy tool on Fanteam called Form, and that shows you the average points of the last 5 games. Now, there is only 3 defenses across the league that have Form. If you're looking above 8, then there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams. However, 3 of those are Form 11, 11.6 and 12. The rest are around that 8, sort of 8.6, 8.8. So that's the average of the last 5 games. That shows you defenses don't tend to score very highly if that's the average points that they're getting over 5 weeks. And there will be weeks there where there's been peaks, and then there'll be weeks where there's been troughs as well. So my advice, Sean, would be do not take a hit of minus eight for a defense. Could pay off. Chances are you're either going to break even or be worse off.
That's the, another thing I think now is I would happily take the minus eight for a outfield player, a non-defense though. I've done that a couple of times and it's actually worked out pretty well. Especially if you get picking the right player, because you know the top players are scoring over 20 points. If you need to do it, especially if you've got yourself into bye week trouble with injury and with injuries, so you're running out of transfers. We know we haven't all got our transfers saved up like Andy, so like you know we sometimes need to take the minus eights and stuff.
Well, I said I'd taken the minus eight this week. Now, if Murray doesn't start, that's a minus eight. But then if Lamar Jackson goes off for 30 points tonight, I'm plus 22 straight away. Yeah. So it's similar to FPL, Andy, I suppose, in that you look at a minus four some weeks and you think, oh, do I want to take a hit? But in reality, I suppose it's a little bit more difficult in FPL because there has to really be a return, either a clean sheet, an assist, or a goal to justify doing it. Whereas with the NFL, especially in your big point scoring positions like quarterback, running back, we know that the top players can go off for 20, 30 points. So minus eight really is a fraction of what you stand to gain if they do go off.
Yeah, and to be fair, like there is an argument to be said that maybe you could get a D in this week for a hit that you know has got good fixtures now for the last couple of weeks. Like someone like the Seahawks, for instance, have got okay fixtures, but I'm just looking at it and thinking there's not really any defense in this league anymore that I like that much. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like I look at it and think, you know, it used to be the Ravens defense was incredible every year. And, you know, and it's not really happening this year. So I don't think there's a defense that I trust enough to warrant taking that hit. If there was a D we know that makes big plays every week, then it might be a bit different. But I don't think we're in that space at the moment.
Yeah. Not the Patriots from a couple of years ago or whatever would be one you'd think about. But
league winners.
Yeah, exactly. But that's about it. Wildcard planning is vital, in my opinion. That came from Dan Jones.
Most people have probably used it now, haven't they? I suppose.
Yeah, we've approached it differently. I mean, we've got multiple teams. I've definitely got one of my teams still got my wild card. But at the moment, what's really weird is, unless something drastic happens, I don't see how I'm going to use that wild card.
Yeah. I wanted to save the wild card for the last week, because that's when a lot of players get rested. And I was hoping to maybe use that wild card in that last week and then hope that you can get a whole team in of you know, subpar players that are going to come in and play, because obviously they're resting people for the playoffs. But I've used my wild cards. They're long gone.
I suppose that with the last weeks, there's going to be teams that are either chasing you know, like wildcard places, or there's no guarantee of home field advantage week one of the playoffs, or they're looking for a divisional title. So there's definitely going to be teams that have nothing to play for, but there's definitely still teams you can target between the end of the byes and the end of the season. Get those players in for your last week. But I think with the wildcard, certainly a lot of people have probably used it now because we've had the price rise as well with the players. So I've no doubt there's people, I think Rich Dynasty Island used his to capitalize on some of the players like Cordarrelle Patterson, who we knew his price was going to rise. Bring him in. You've got him in your squad. If you don't want to keep him, then you're a wild card. You can move him out, but you've got that value back in your team.
Yeah. So we've got comments coming all over the place. Patriots is getting hot boys from Jack. Friend, you know, was on last week, Jack. I don't think it's getting hot enough to take a minus eight, though, personally. And here we go, back from Dan again. I have one where I'm wildcarding in a three Rams after their bye, which is next week. So, yeah. I think we're going to find at the end of this there wasn't one way to do this, as it were. There wasn't a way to play. Like I see on FPL, I'm not a very experienced FPL player, as in I played it like when it came out. I'm that old, but I haven't played it very much recently, for example, Andy. But it seems to me like it's very almost templated when you use your wild cards, etc. in FPL. It appears to be. And I don't think that's going to be the case with NFL at the end of the season. I think we're going to look at it and say there was multiple ways you could have done this. I think you could have used it in week two and been successful, you know?
It's I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said that this has been a learning year for an awful lot of us. And I think we're looking at it and thinking, actually, we didn't know how a lot of this was going to play out. It's been a weird year as well because of injuries. Like, there's been an awful lot of injuries, and trying to just keep track of everything as it's going, it's been quite tricky. But yeah, I think there is a bit of a template, obviously, that most people have gone for. So if you're wildcarding now, I think I'm struggling to see what advantage you'd have wildcarding now. So I think wildcarding early is probably the best thing to do. See the patterns, get them in there quickly, get your price rises there as well, and then just see if you can make the most of those price rises later on, because then you can get those big players in when they start hitting later on. But yeah, I'd completely agree. I think this has been a bit of a learning year.
So we've completely overrun this section by about 10 minutes now, so I'm probably not going to I won't show you my team. I'll just quickly tell you, I too am bringing in Mike Evans, and I've also brought in the Tennessee Titans defense, because I had to, because I had the Bengals defense. My pod team's actually dropped down by about 100 spaces last week, but I've got two. I've got one of the top 100 and another one about 135. So, yeah, all very different teams, all showing different ways you can do it. So we better try and get back on track here, because what we're really here is to talk about our Week 10 teams. But before that, Nick, it's your moment to shine.
Oh, here we go. Lawnmower 4.0. Support for all 5-yard rush daily fantasy sport shows, and all 5-yard rush shows for that matter, is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below the waist grooming. Andy, you got yourself a lawnmower 4.0?
No, you're selling it to me though. I want
one.
Oh,
here we go. Here we go. Well,
you can have mine, Andy.
Used. Lovely.
I have to pay it. Is not that. Used. It is not used, Andy. Mark definitely isn't.
Stop saying it like you know, Nick.
Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for those all important family jewels. So they recently launched their fourth generation trimmer. You will see that on the screen for anyone that is watching the Lawnmower 4.0. That is all across Europe. Many, many great features with this trimmer. What I would advise you do is get yourself over to manscaped.com. At the checkout, use the code 5YARD. That will grant you 20% off and free worldwide shipping. So that is code 5YARD, and that is at manscaped.com. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Join over 2 million men worldwide who already trust Manscaped.
Great stuff. So I think now we're going to go and build our lineup together. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get fan team on the page. Yep, good. Great. You can see that. So just in case this is your first time entering one of these contests, so you're not sure exactly where to find the 5-yard rush contest, on the games tab, you have the you have these filters down the left. And there's one for football, which got the little American football sign next to it. Lots of contests on there at the moment, including tonight. There's some showdown games, which are great fun. Lots of prizes on offer there. They've actually started doing the step satellites for the World Championship of Fantasy Football. So if you're feeling confident and stuff, there's loads of things to enter there. I would just want to mention that Jack Humphrey, friend of the show, as his matchups are out for this evening's Dolphins-Ravens game. So go and check out his Twitter, at Jack Humphrey, KM, and you'll find the link there.
Fantastic spreadsheet that Jack's been putting together as well.
Yeah, yeah. He just annoys me because he keeps doing well. Anyway, so here we've got our exclusive 5-yard rush contest. Let's go in there and let's build a team, guys. So let's start up with quarterback now. Josh Allen, surprisingly, is a lot more expensive than everybody else. And I say surprisingly, not because of talent or anything, but because of the egg he laid last week against the Jags. Are you either of you guys interested in him?
Me personally, no. I tend to steer away from the most expensive quarterbacks each week because they have to be the best quarterback if you select them. And he's been really boom or bust this year. Like, genuinely, he really has. And I don't feel like he's the kind of player I want to pick in a DFS, because he's either going to win you the week or he's going to lose you the week. So I haven't been putting him into my entries this week just because I would rather use the money elsewhere.
Nick, can you talk me out of playing Tom Brady in every single lineup this week? Because he's got such a good matchup.
He has, and I can't really. with that said, Josh Allen, super expensive at 23.9, but for good reason, really, I think, this week, because when you actually break it down, we always say that the Bills' best running back is Josh Allen, and the New York Jets are absolutely atrocious against running backs. In the last 3 weeks alone, they've conceded 8 touchdowns to running backs, and they're at the highest on the season as well with 14. So I actually, yes, he's expensive at 23.9. However, I hope that puts some people off, because I think I will have some exposure to Josh Allen this week. Tom Brady, though, yeah, I'm with you there, Mark, and he's a nice stack as well with Mike Evans, who we've all brought in seemingly on our season-long teams this week.
Yeah. Anybody else you like up here, Andy, at the top of the quarterbacks?
Really like Herbert this week. I think Herbert could do well this week. I've said it already. I think Keenan Allen's obviously having an okay season. I think Mike Williams is boom or bust, but I feel like this Vikings defense could be a bit susceptible to Williams this week. And I feel like they only need to connect with one massively long touchdown, and all of a sudden the points come flooding in. I love Herbert this year anyway. You know, he can have absolutely massive weeks. So he's somebody that I'm definitely having a look at.
Nice. I actually like Cousins on that game a little bit more. If I was going to, I think that game is a really stackable game. I think there's lots of really good pieces from that. One name I wanted to bring up, though, to both of you, and Nick, I'm interested in your view on this, is Carson Wentz.
He's the one of two quarterbacks that I've got a cheaper price. He is one of them. Yeah, I mean, he's playing the Jags. They're not actually the Jags, when you look at them, they're not an awful defense against, like, across the board against some of the positions. That said, Carson Wentz is putting together quite a nice little season. So, yeah, I like him at the price. I also like a little bit further down Ryan Tannehill at 17.7. Saints D, on paper, it looks good. But then when you break it down a little bit more, especially in more recent weeks, I think a lot of what makes the Saints D look good stats-wise is that they were pretty good early season. But in the last few weeks, they've allowed the fourth most yards to this position and the second most touchdowns to quarterbacks as well. We know that Derrick Henry's injured. Is it likely to provoke Tannehill into throwing a little bit more? This could be a close game if the Saints D does turn up. So, you know, AJ Brown, Julio Jones is due a big game. He's been pretty disappointing by his standards, but he's due a big game, and he's pretty cheap this week as well. So I like Wentz, but I do like Tannehill as well.
Interesting Carson Wentz stat. In the last 4 weeks, he's got the highest average attempted air yards per game amongst anybody. So, which is really surprising to me. So I think he's good. The other thing, you'd like Tannehill. I think, what about Matt Ryan? Andy, you got any interest in Matt Ryan at that price? Because he's been doing pretty well recently, hasn't he?
Yeah, I just worry about who he's aiming at. I know, obviously, Pitts is elite, but he had a few drops at the weekend, and I'm worrying who he's going to be throwing the ball to mainly. I know, is it Zacchaeus was getting a few touchdowns last week, wasn't it? Yeah. I don't think you can maybe rely on that. So I haven't massively looked at him. Okay. Someone else as well that I'm not going anywhere near this week, because that was a very good year, is Hurts. I feel like Hurts could really struggle this week against a really good Denver defense. And I was massive on Hurts at the beginning of the season, and I think his garbage time and his run at rushing touchdowns have been great, but I think he's probably going to struggle this week.
Yeah, they're a good D.
Do you know, with I was just looking at Carson Wentz's stats, Mark, and I'm actually shocked at how good his stats are for the season, because I'm looking and I'm seeing 3 interceptions, and I'm thinking, that can't be right. I feel like Carson Wentz has had at least double that this season. But 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and somewhere around 2,198 passing yards. Not bad. Probably hit 4,500 on the season with the trajectory he's on. So, you know, and because he's been playing well, Pittman has finally had his breakout as well. Obviously, we'll speak about when we come to the receivers, but I think he's a good price this week. I really like that you've mentioned him, because he was already in my thoughts. He is even more so now.
So we need to pick one, guys. So as ever, I'll let you two decide, because I wanted to pick Josh Allen last week, and look how that would have ended up. So, yeah.
For me, safety-wise, I think I cannot see a world where Brady doesn't have a good week, personally.
Yeah.
I think if we went safety-wise, I think, you know, we could go a bit more boom or bust everywhere else then, couldn't we? So for me, I think Brady's a great pick.
Yeah, I think he's the number one pick. If you look at it, if you get price, forget pricing and everything, he's just the top play. So, yeah. Are you okay with that, Nick?
Yeah, I'm absolutely. You're not going to get me arguing against Tom Brady going in at quarterback. Absolutely not.
And none of us are worried about who he's throwing the ball to, clearly, because he could be down both Brown and Godwin. I think Brown's almost definite from what I've been hearing, but yeah, Godwin doesn't look good either. Anyway, moving on to running backs. Christian McCaffrey is back at the top. He got a little bit of usage last week. You know, he's definitely a player who interests me, just because I imagine he might be lower owned than he would be normally, and this could be a, you know, 100% game for him. But Carolina are terrible on offense, and they have just fallen off a cliff. So that's, you know, that works against him. Then we've got Harrison Taylor, who to me just, I don't know what you guys think, but I think they're smash plays. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I think, you know, Harrison Taylor, they are smash plays. Do we really need to talk that much about them? Because I think they're as obvious a pick as you could have this week. A little bit further down the scale for me, I'm going to throw out a little sleeper pick here, and it's going to sound a little bit contradictory given that I've just said Josh Allen. Devin Singletary down there, 11.5. I hate myself for saying it. Dan Jones just mentioned on the chat, Zach Moss still in concussion protocol as well. It's just that Jets D, and there's one game this season where Zach Moss didn't feature. That was week one. Singletary didn't jump off the page on week one, but he was fairly efficient in the usage that he had. So yes, there isn't always a lot of carries to go around in that backfield, but I think at 11.5, if you're looking for a budget guy, he's in my thoughts this week. And I think if you're going to play a Taylor or a Harris, you need to really, or even both of those guys, you need to really start looking further down at the guys that are 11, 10 million or less in other positions.
I think we might have to end this broadcast now. Different single tree.
yeah, don't do it, says
Jack. Yeah, he's right. Andy, please talk some sense to us now.
I have Singletree in my entry that I've made so far.
I've kicked you both out.
I agree. I've liked Zach Moss a lot of this year as well, and I keep thinking he's going to have a big week. And there's, you know, Josh Allen's been a bit up and down. Maybe Singletree can take advantage of this Jets D. Williams is somebody I'm just expecting to have a big week at one point as well. Javonte, I feel like I've been waiting all year for him to take over this backfield, and it surprised me how much Gordon's been used all year, actually. But Javonte's he's getting the yards, that he's getting the usage, and he is an elite rookie talent. So I do really like him this week. I feel like Philly is there to be taken as well. I like people like Javonte. I like Jerry Jeudy this week as well. So I feel like Javonte's somebody in that cheap bracket I quite like.
I'm quite interested in J.D. McKissic.
Yes,
to be honest.
I am as well.
Yeah, I think he's a really good player at that price. Obvious reasons, Washington aren't very good. They're going to be behind. And you don't run against Tampa Bay. And they haven't got many people to throw the ball to. Literally, I think statistically, it's Terry McLaurin, McKissic, and Ricky Seals-Jones, the only places that Heineke throws. So I think he's very boom and bust. I mean, he's the ultimate boom or bust play. But, you know, I'm definitely... Personally, I'm picking him up as Singletree.
I think worth keeping an eye on what happens with Nick Chubb as well in the coming days, because he's still in COVID protocol, I think. If he stays in there, then is it D'Ernest Johnson? Is it pronounced D'Ernest Johnson coming in at 10.2? I think he'd probably be a must-start in my lineups then at that price.
Yeah. Somebody very, very similar as well. Alvin Kamara might not be playing. So Mark Ingram's season might be upon us.
Mark
Ingram's only about 9 million as well. And he is somebody we could plug in if Alvin Kamara is definitely out.
And Titans aren't great, are they, against a run?
No.
No. So, I think... So what I'm finding frustrating about this running back position is I like so many... there's so many good options at the top. You can't put them all in. But there's a whole load of options at the bottom as well, as we've said there. But then I feel like I'm missing out the good options at the top. You know, it's like Harrison Taylor, I just desperately want to put them in, but I don't see how we can now we put Brady, you know, quarterback. I don't see. So I feel we're going to have to do one expensive and one cheaper at the moment. We might come back later if we've got some money saved.
I think me personally, if we were going one of those two, my preference would probably be on Harris for the matchup.
What do you think, Andy? Should we put Harris in, or are you a Taylor man? Or
oh, I was going to go Taylor, but to be honest, I had Brady, didn't I? So we'll give him Harris.
Let's give him Harris. We might need to go down to Taylor if we're 0.4 short. And then I think we do have to pick one of these cheaper running backs. Now, sadly, you two have both gone for Singletary, haven't you?
Yeah, I think you've been outvoted there, Mark. So yeah. Singletary has to go in, I think.
Okay. Fine. Let's move on quickly to the wide receivers. This is usually the most interesting position, and it's the one where we can save some money. Now, surprise, surprise, Devontae Adams is the most expensive. Aaron Rodgers is due to be back on Saturday. I think he can't train still, but he's got to do his tests. He can come back on Saturday, I think. If he passes his two negative tests. So Stefan Diggs is still second price as well. And I feel like he just disappoints week after week at that sort of price, don't you guys?
Yeah, I agree.
He's disappointing this season. He's just steady. He's just ticking over each week, isn't he? Yeah. But the scores he's giving you just aren't what you expect from his price.
Yeah. I mean, we all like Mike Evans. We've talked about that. A name I'd like to just throw into the mix here to talk about is Deontay Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers look to be... again, the Steelers has got a very concentrated sort of passing tree. It's Johnson, it's Freiermuth at the moment, and then Najee Harris is kind of it, what with Claypool being injured, and looks like he potentially out at the weekend. So I think he'd be pretty low-owned as well, Deontay Johnson.
Mm. Yeah, I really like him.
Yeah, okay, good. That's good. I haven't chosen somebody. You're all really quiet, so I was worried it's going to be another one of my odd picks. what about you, Andy? Who do you like?
You've mentioned him already. I really like Pittman. I feel like Pittman's having a year. I feel like he is really starting to emerge now. We've already mentioned Carson Wentz. That Jags team is just, it is what we probably expected them to be this year. And I mean, you look at his scores the last 3 weeks, you know, he's averaging, 23 points a week. And I don't see that not continuing. So I feel like he's a really good, for his price as well, I really like him.
Yeah, I was surprised where he is, priced where he was. I really was. What about you, Nick?
I mentioned, I think if you're going to go with someone like Tannehill, I think naturally you've got to start AJ Brown again this week. Julio Jones, I think, is priced reasonably well. If fit, I really like Keenan Allen this week. His targets have shot up. So 24 targets he's had in the last 2 weeks. Could be a shootout that against the Vikings as well. It seems like every game they're in is 24, 26 plus points close, as we saw last week. In the last 3 weeks, they've given up 501 yards to wide receivers as well. So I think it's a good matchup. I would just say keep an eye on him because he is listed on the injury report at the moment. If he wasn't to go, I think Williams would be a bit more appealing. But one of the things that surprised me is Williams' workload has just dropped off a cliff in recent weeks. He's only had 5 receptions in his last 3 weeks. 5 receptions each week.
I think the matchups have been tough, though. Like, I look at it and I feel like he's been shut down an awful lot in the last couple of weeks. And, like, I think I agree with you, it's gone down. But I think if Keenan Allen's ready to go, I think Mike Williams is a hell of a play this week. I think he's going to be open a lot. And I think Eagles struggle against slot receivers as well. So I really like Mike Williams this week.
Yeah, I think I was listening to a pod earlier today and there were some stats on it. And Mike Williams has been basically matchup dependent.
Mm.
He's not matchup proof like some of the top receivers. But obviously, but this week it's expected to be the Vikings are very bad against outside receivers.
Sorry, so, Vikings, yeah, not Eagles. Sorry, that's
played last one. Yeah, the Vikings are very bad against outside receivers, so it looks like a good matchup. Mm. And I think you probably get him decent ownership as well, because of the bad weeks he's had. So
not to sidetrack, but OBJ might do some damage now with the Rams. Says YT, has something happened that we're not? I didn't know he.
Mm. Has he done something happened there?
He wouldn't go to the Rams, would he?
He's narrowing down his choices. Oh, he's currently focused on the Rams and Packers.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
It's nice chasing that he gets a ring, clearly. Yeah. It's nice that he gets to choose where he goes like that, doesn't he? It's like, because he's had such a good, you know, season. we need to look at some cheaper receivers, I think, here. Anybody you really like? I know you like Jerry Jeudy, don't you, Andy? You already mentioned him.
I do. I really like Jerry Jeudy. I've been waiting for him to kind of kick off this season because obviously he was injured for quite a while. I think he showed last week that he's starting to get back into it and he got a lot of those yardage. And I feel like he could have a really good week this week against the Eagles. He's somebody that I don't know why I seem to be drawn to the Broncos quite a lot at the moment. But yeah, I think Judy's probably one of my favourite players at that range.
Yeah, I think. What about you, Nick? Who do you like down this?
A little bit further down the scale, but I'm willing to take a punt on Peoples-Jones this week at 9.9. I think it's a tough matchup against New England, but if Chubb is out, that could be... I'm actually going with New England in this game, so I'm going to say Cleveland are going to be airing the ball out a little bit. So Peoples-Jones, again, boom or bust, I think, with this one, but there's not really much else going on there at the moment in the receiving court in Cleveland. I know Landry's back, but he's also listed as questionable this week. Obviously, Odell's now gone. So the targets have got to go somewhere.
Yeah. I think New England isn't very good against outside receivers as well. So Peoples-Jones is a good choice, I think. I think of that sort of... Cleveland is a weird fantasy team, I find, because they seem to score more fantasy points than I expect them to. I always feel like that. It's like, you know, do you remember, Nick, we were talking about Detroit at the beginning of the season? I feel like Cleveland have got a little bit like that.
Do we like any of the Jets receivers this week?
The Jets? Did you say the Jets?
I said the Jets because Elijah Moore is priced at 9.7. Now, I know they're coming up against the Bills, but again, game script wise, they're gonna have to throw the ball in this game to have any chance of it being close. I think.
I think I would like him more if Corey, because I think Corey Davis is back, isn't he?
Yeah,
which hurts him a little bit for me. I Elijah Moore is on my boom list for next year, but I feel like with Corey Davis back, I'm not quite sure about him this week. Sorry.
Okay,
just devil's advocate, guys. I'm just throwing it out there.
That's right. I apologize.
It's well, you know, you already got old Singletree in. I don't know how we're going to fit in. I might have to pull some sort of rank if I had any on that one. One thing I think we have to do, though, is we have to put in Mike Evans here because we all agreed he's a great play this week because we've got him all in our fantasy, our season longs. Ties in nicely with Brady. What have we got money-wise left? We've got about 12 and three quarters per player. So we need to go cheap. Now, we've already had mention on chat, Tyler Johnson of Tampa Bay. Now, I'm assuming this is a play if Godwin doesn't go. I don't know how cheap he is. Tyler Johnson, there you go, 6 million. I think he's a very boom or bust play. Don't you reckon?
Yeah, five receptions week 8, but...
I'm not sure at the moment on him. Anyway, we've got to find somebody pretty cheap, I think. So I'm kind of happy with Peoples-Jones. What about you, Andy?
Yeah, go for it. Go on.
You already doing it? Yeah, let's do it. Let's see what we come up with here. We're not worrying about creating stacking particularly or anything or run backs and stuff with this team. So save ourselves a little bit of money. I think Should we go to tight end and come back so we see how much money we've got?
Yeah, because we do, I don't know how you approach tight end, Andy, but we usually try and go a little bit cheaper there and a little bit cheaper at defense as well. So
yeah, I usually go the kind of medium tier with tight end. I like having someone I feel like could do something for me, but they don't ever tend to really go off, do they?
No, it's been a funny year. And also all the so-called big tight ends aren't on this slate. So yeah. We've got Kyle Pitts at the top there, who isn't actually a pretty nice matchup. Then TJ Hockenson, who is just a waste of money. And then Dalton Schultz and Goddard, who just gets missed because his quarterback misses him in the end zone. Wide open. Who do you like here, Nick?
There's one name. Well, there's two names that are jumping out at me this week. Noah Fant is one. Especially if I'm going to do his name no justice here whatsoever, but especially if Albert Okwugbunrelam, whatever.
There's a reason they call him Albert O.
Albert O, yeah.
There's a reason they do that.
So if he isn't a go, then I think Noah Fant is a nice player this week. Eagles are the worst defense in the NFL against the position. 8 touchdowns allowed, ranks 32nd. 597 yards, ranked 31st. So yeah, Noah Fant I think is a good play. The other name that's jumping out at me, a little bit cheaper if you want to save a little bit more money, is actually Dan Arnold of the Jags. Dan Arnold is a weird one because he's basically a wide receiver playing tight end in most fantasy formats. Actually, before this season, he was listed as a wide receiver slash tight end, so you could actually play him in two different positions. The Colts, they're not an amazing defense against tight ends, but they're not awful. 2 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. They've given up 6 on the season, but they're really poor against wide receivers, the Colts. So I think it's just, it's my thoughts is that, you know, Jacksonville are going to be throwing the ball in this game. So I think Dan Arnold, the receivers are a little bit muddled there. It's like dirty water. 1 week you've got Marvin Jones, 1 week Chenault has a game. Agnew obviously is there. But there's nothing that leaps off the page on the receivers where you could say, oh yeah, that's a true number one. And they brought Dan Arnold in obviously to be a big part of the offense. So I like his price this week. And I never thought I'd actually mention Dan Arnold on a DFS slate. But here we are in week 10.
Okay, Andy, who do you like then as well?
Funnily enough, Dan Arnold was somebody I was going to mention, so Nick's done that for me.
Have we been swapping notes, Andy? Have you been peeking?
Shall I just put Dan Arnold in now, shall I? Just
move back well, the other person I was going to mention, actually, was somebody that actually popped off massively last week was Freiermuth. I feel like he's somebody that has started to show in his rookie season that he could be used quite well. Obviously, we worry about Big Ben's arm, but obviously with Freiermuth there, maybe he's somebody he aims at when he's in the end zone. And he's had a good last 3 weeks as well. So he is somebody that I'm quite liking this week against the Lions, who the Lions do like capitulating against a lot of teams at the moment. So he is somebody that I'm looking at particularly as well.
Yeah, if we're going to like Deontay Johnson, then we've kind of got to like Freiermuth as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
I think Tyler Conklin could be an interesting. Last week he was like, I think he ended up as the chalk. And he didn't do great. But I feel this week in that game, I think you could just stack that game. This, you know, the Vikings Chargers game, pretty, but you feel pretty happy with it. I think he could be a piece of that as well.
There any love for Ricky Seals Jones?
Logan Thomas might be back this week. So
okay.
So actually, Logan Thomas, I'm trying to find him. It's not on this list as available, is he? But he could well be back. If he's not.
Do you think it's possible that you play 2 tight end sets, if that is the case?
He's actually more expensive than Ricky Seals-Jones. So, yeah. When do we play 2 tight ends, Nick?
Well, you don't, but we're talking Washington.
I think if Thomas doesn't actually play, then I think Ricky Seals-Jones actually is really good, isn't he? Because that's how you attack Tampa Bay is through the air. They've had a bye week as well to prepare for them, which means they'll probably only lose by 20 points as opposed to losing by 30. But I can kind of see the writing on the wall here. I see it's Dan Arnold. I just think that's what we're going to end up with, isn't it?
Yeah,
God, yeah, throw him in. Let's see what we're left with.
Yeah, with Peoples Jones. By the way, Jack Humphrey clearly doesn't like our Peoples Jones pick. But that's the beauty of DFS. If everything was, you know, as predictable as stats and stuff from previous weeks, then, you know, we'd all be winning, wouldn't we?
I think that's actually, is that not in our favour? I think that's that what he's thrown up. I think the Patriots, I think he's saying are ranked 31st in the last 4 weeks against wide receivers. So that
I read it as in they were the second best against.
Yeah.
Against well, in the last 5 weeks, they've been ranked at 11. So as in 11th worst for that matter. So I don't reckon that 1 week would have boosted them that far up the rankings, but I could be wrong.
Anyway, we can't work if Jack agrees or disagrees, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's move on.
That's
to...
That's in your favour, Seth. There you go. There we go.
Oh, okay. It's in our favour. Okay, thank you.
I've got to warn you, boys. I've got about 2 minutes left because I've got a screaming baby upset. So I'm so sorry. I've got to go in 2 minutes. So I reckon a D in there.
Okay, let's just do very, very quickly a very cheap D. Who should we put in? Doesn't really matter, does it, this price? Should I put in... who do you reckon cheap, quickly?
I see you go cheap. I was going for the Steelers. That's why I like going for a big D.
We've got money for D. We do. We've got 34 and a half. So we've got to spend about seven. So we can spend 2 17s on. So I think we like Deontay Johnson, didn't we?
Yeah.
Who else are we going to go with?
Pittman.
Yep. That is a pretty. And then actually, if you don't, that's all fine. I think we've done pretty well then. So
that's not a bad team.
That's not a bad team at all, is it? There you go.
Easy.
Okay, Andy, so we'll probably have to say goodbye to you before we finish.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right. At least you've got the team, mate. Before you go, let everybody know where they can find you and all your content, etc.
Yeah, so I'm Andy, FPL Teach Mode on Twitter. You can find me on Fantasy Football Scout, Draft Gym. I also do streams for as well, and just out and about and everywhere, really. You know, I'm a bit of a lazeabout. I'll go everywhere. So thank you very much for having me, though, guys.
No,
really,
thank you
really
so much for joining us. Sorry we talked so much about season long.
No, that's correct. No, thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so Nick, we need to now, we need to finish off. So there's our team. You happy with those last two choices of Johnson and Pittman?
Yeah, I mean, I like Pittman anyway. We mentioned him earlier on. Deontay Johnson, can't argue with that, to be fair. The only thing I probably would have done defense-wise is I'd have maybe gone a little bit cheaper. I actually like the Titans D this week. Scary what they did against the Rams, to be honest, last week. But the Titans and... It goes against one of our picks, really, but the New England defense has been really good in recent weeks, turnovers-wise. So I think they're priced fairly well at $8 million as well. But if we've got the funds there, we've got the budget, then we can afford to go a little bit more expensive and go with the Steelers.
We could pay for the Bills as well.
Yeah, and I think across the board, I don't think if we had funds freed up, if we went slightly cheaper on defense, I don't think we could significantly improve the team across the board because a lot of money is tied up in big hitting players like Brady, like Harris, like Evans, like Johnson. So I think when you've got a build like that, you naturally have to have budget in your team as well.
I'm just going to put the Bills in there at the moment because I think against the Jets, they're clearly the best actual matchup. I think if I've put Tennessee into some of my season longs because I think
I've done exactly
good running games. Running and they're quite cheap in that.
Yeah, they're priced at 9.5 in the season long as well. So it's a good price. One of the questions that we actually had, I know we have moved on from season long, but just coming back to it, Mark, as I don't like leaving questions unanswered. Would you guys transfer out DJ Moore this week? He's killing my team, DJ Moore, to Marquise Brown. Me personally, Mark, I've had DJ Moore shares. I've moved them on this week for Pittman, for Brown, whoever it might be, until we see a resurgence from Sam Darnold again. I won't be bringing in any of the receivers from Carolina.
Yeah, I completely agree that offense. I mean, how bad things have got, they're bringing in Cam Newton. So.
like it's 2015 or whenever it was that he was there as the MVP, whenever.
Yeah. So I would completely kick him out, DJ Moore. I doesn't mean I still believe he's going to have a couple few weeks where he, you know, smashes. I really do, because he's just that sort of player. You know, you can give him the ball 5 yards from the line and he can make something big. But like, yeah, I think, Marcus Brown has been great, hasn't he, fantasy-wise? I mean, just absolutely fantastic. And what I like about him, he's not one of those big, muscly receivers that, you know, keeps on Instagram and all these sort of things and stuff. It's like...
he's like tiny.
Exactly. I just, you know, I think you got like an underdog. So, our team for this week, and I want to come back to this point. I'll come back to a point about this in a minute, Nick. We've got Tom Brady, quarterback, got Harrison Singletree, running back, Mike Evans, Peoples Jones, Deontay Johnson, Pittman Jr. at wide receiver, Dan Arnold at tight end, and at defense, we've got Buffalo. Now, the reason what I wanted to say, just to discuss with you, was just quickly, that's not necessarily a classic tournament team, I would say. Not really much correlation there or all that, and probably you could stack Brady with more options and stuff. But looking at the contest on Fantasy, I think generally cash style lineups have been winning tournaments or doing well in them, playing it safe and not worrying too much about stacking and stuff and correlations. I don't know if you've seen that or thought that at all, but
yeah, I mean, I have, and like it's almost seems like sometimes, like with like you said, with it's like playing it safe or being like chalky is frowned upon, but not so much, I suppose, on fan team at times when you look at some of the teams that have won in recent weeks. Like I'm looking at the winner of the Red Zone last week. This might be the, well, it will be the lower entry based on the price pot that's going out here, but he had players like Marquise Brown, Justin Jefferson, Lamar Jackson, Nick Chubb, Alvin Kamara. Now, players like Chubb and Kamara would have been fairly well owned last week. Jackson was 27%, Brown was 31%. So there's not much. Yes, there's the stack there for Baltimore, but there's not much in terms of like, you know, there's not like a lot of differential there. You look through the lineup, the receivers are made up of four different teams, the running backs, two obviously separate teams. The only stack there is Jackson and Brown. There isn't a massive amount of correlation throughout the team, like you said as well. So, yeah, I've noticed that as well.
Yeah, I think if you play on other sites and you're used to playing teams full of, you know, basically correlations and stacks create variance, you know, when they, because if they don't go off, then your whole team is sort of, you've lost a lot of points, a lot of positions and stuff. So it's just something to bear in mind. I think going forwards, I'll be playing a little bit more conservatively with my lineup and not worrying so much about ownership. I think I've been hurting myself worrying too much about ownership on Fantasy.
Yeah, I think I think it's good to still throw in some guys like, I mean, just as an example, like Peoples Jones this week, who could go off but might not seem like a really obvious choice. I think a lot of people will try and really spread the budget and get as many good players, as it were, rather than looking at some absolute smash players and then some players that potentially the high risk but high reward players as well. So yeah, I'm with you on that, Mark. I think when you look across your lineup, if you're thinking, oh, I'm not sure whether to start Jonathan Taylor or Harris because they're probably going to be highly owned, just start them. They're going to score good points. That's ultimately what you need to win this contest. You need the points. If you don't own that player and 40% of the field does, straight away you're behind 40% of the field.
Yeah, it's like definitely something I'm changing my tactic with. So yeah, great. So there you go. We've managed to do that. We got back on track as well, time wise.
Yeah,
kind of helps when your guest. It kind of helps when your guest wants to disappear though, like the 58 minute mark. So please remember to sign up for our exclusive free roll, 4 free entries, £300 prize pool. You can find it in the games lobby called Exclusive 5 Yard Rush Free Roll. I'm Mark Ferguson at _SMRF on Twitter. And Nick, have you got some final words of wisdom for us?
I have. You find me on Twitter at Nick of Wigan. Always interacting with the community, especially leading up to Red Zone on Sundays. if you've not already joined Fan Team, get on there. If you've never deposited, do yourself a favor, enter the free roll, 5 yard rush free roll, 4 free entries, but deposit yourself some money and jump on the Red Zone Monster this Sunday, because it's a massive pot. You don't want to miss out on it. And the different entry levels as well, Mark, just make it all that more appealing as well. If you're not a big stakes player, don't worry about it. There's the smaller entry fee, £1.68 in this day and age. Really, what can that buy you, Mark? £1.68. You can just about get a can of Red Bull for that. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me, Mark. All I want to say in closing is a nice little sign off from me. Catches for sure, but touchdowns for Doe, I think, is my little sign off now going forward. And we'll throw up the little Manziel money signs there as well.
Well, thank you very much for that. Good luck, everybody. Hopefully, I'll see you all at the top of the leaderboards.